We're holding on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We started quoting yesterday the beginning of Megillas Tainis, which lists various days, or series of days, mostly during the time of the Second Beis Hamikdash, a few of them afterwards, when various nisim happened to the Jewish people, various nisim, or various special occasions of celebration, and therefore they declared that those days aren't allowed to fast, and some of them they also declared you're not allowed to make a hesed. We said there was one of them was from the first of Nisan through the eighth, when they successfully argued with the Baitosim about the Korban Tomid, that it has to be brought from the money of the Tzibur rather than by individuals. And then you have that, so we discussed that. And then the next one we said runs from the eighth of Nisan until the end of Pesach, when they correctly fix the date of Shavuot. That the Baitosim were arguing that Shavuot has to be on Sunday, Mimachar Shabbos. And the Chachamim successfully argued against them that not so. But you were saying, by the way, yesterday that they must have had strong arguments, but it took 2 weeks to overcome them. Not necessarily, really. I mean, we find, for example, if you look at the Ramban's famous disputation with the Meshumad over there, Pablo, the whole thing also took about a week and a half, 2 weeks. But there were only four sessions because they had. There was one session, and then a few days later they had another one, etc. So yeah. So here it may have been the same kind of thing also. Anyway,
maybe the
Shema was Pablo. No, well, these by them, they're Jewish. Yeah, this Pablo was also a Yid, he was a Mishnah. But yeah.
But these days were happy days, you know, they didn't miss the time. So what happened with something in later generations where bad things happen on those days?
We're going to talk about that in the Gemara. We'll get to that. We'll get to that point. At Bechlau, there was the whole discussion we had in Rosh Hashanah whether Batl Megillas Tainis, whether these days that are listed in Megillas Tainis are Batl La Halacha, and the final Halacha is they are. So therefore, none of these days that we're listing over here—the first 8 days of Nisan, the next 14 days, etc. None of them are chal nowadays.
I mean,
no, because just the general rule is, but the general rule, the final halacha is but the Megillas Tainis, that after the Churban, then Megillas Tainis is no longer in effect. One thing is we learned in Shabbos the reason for that. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the Jews of those times they loved the Tzaddis and they loved the fact that Hashem saved them from them. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says we also do, but if we were to start making Yom Tovim every time we're saved from a Tzaddis, the whole year would be Yom Tovim.
Right.
There's so many of them. So yeah, but still you can't do that. You can't say that every day there's no fast and no hesbedim. So, Omamai, we learned in the Braise, and Mitzmanya Be'ad Sof Mayada, from the 8th of Nisan through the end of Pesach, Itos of Chagad Shuaya, the Yom Tov of Shavuos was correctly placed, the Lola Mispani now had to make a spadim on those days. The question is, Lomali Ad Sof Mayad, why does the Braise have to say that this went on until the end of Pesach? Lema Adam Mayad, just say until Pesach, or Mayad for Yom Tov, when the Pesach itself is Pesach, it's a Yom Tov, you're anyway now allowed to make a spadim and so forth. Amar Papa, Kida Amar Rav, just like we had last time that Rav said in connection with, we asked why did we need to say from the first to the eighth, isn't the first anywhere Rosh Chodesh, and he can't fast or make a spadim on it. And he said, that the reason why Megillas Tainis has to say that the first Yom Tov of Tarkam Tzmidah begins on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is to tell us that the day before it is also in Hespedim, or Tainis is the case maybe. Which we said, the fact that it's the day before Rosh Chodesh wouldn't do that, because Rosh Chodesh is Daraisa, it doesn't need chizuk, it doesn't need that strengthening. A day that Rabbanan does. So once we say that the Yom Tov of Itokam Tzmidah begins Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then automatically that means that Choftes Adar is also. So about the same, the strengthening. So by the same token, Hochanami, same thing over here. Lo nitzrachel elas yom shel achrav. The same thing over here. When we say that the Yom Tov of Itos of Chagad Shavuaya, the Yom Tov of the Shavuos, was correctly settled, goes until the end of Pesach, that comes to tell us it doesn't need to tell us that you can't do a spadim in fact during Pesach itself. That's obvious. But it comes to tell us that you can't do an Isruchag, the day after Pesach. Which That's why it says that's safe mode in order to tell us that the day after the mode is also also. Right. Well, that's the point. Now we don't say tachnun and we try not to be kaveh fast and spadim and whatnot on Isruchag. Technically, only with Shavuos is there an actual halacha that you're not allowed to. With the other Yom Tovim, it's more a minhag. And we see from here That it's not if not for Megillah, because with Shavuos we learned in Beta there's the concept of Yom Tovoyah, the day when everybody would bring their korbanos, because Beit Shammai held that you don't have to bring your oilus re'iyah and shama chagiga on Yom Tov itself, or not shama chagiga, that's fine, but your oilus re'iyah you can't bring on Yom Tov itself. Beit Shammai said you could, but nevertheless many people from Beit Shammai followed Beit Shammai in that. So therefore the day after Shavuos would be the day when everyone's bringing their korbanos, and that is why what. And that is why in Minig Ashkenaz they don't say Tachnun during only the first 8 days of Sivan, from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuot, because they're busy with all the stuff of receiving the Torah, and then Yisruchag, the 8th of Shavuot, the 8th of Sivan, because Yom Tovayach. Or Minig, as we go further, because we do the days of Tashlumin for Shavuot, so we go till the 12th. So Hachin, so the same thing over here. The reason why Megillat Tainus has to say that the Yom Tov runs until the end of Pesach is to tell us that the day after it is also Aser in Tainus. Question is, Kaman to Rabbi Yossi. So who would that be like? Like Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, the Amar Bein Lafana Bein LaAcher V'Aser. Rabbi Yossi had said in the Mishnah, we had a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakhama had said that whenever it says Deloila Misbad, you're not allowed to do Haspedim the day before the day it says Megillat Tainus, but you're allowed to the day after. And Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to the day after either. And when it says Deloila Tanah, behind that you're only not allowed to fast on them, then the Tanakhama had said you're allowed to both before or after it, and Rabbi Yossi had said before, not after it, yes. Here we're saying, this Yom Tov of the Tos of Chag HaDeShuaya, this Yom Tov from the 8th to the 21st of Nisan, it says the loyal misbad. It says you're not allowed to make a shvedim. So that would be the kind that Rabbi Yossi is saying that la'achrav is also aser. Only according to him would you need that. According to the chachamim, it wouldn't be necessary because according to the chachamim, you're allowed to fast or make a shvedim the day after Yom Tov and Megillat Tainus. So according to them, there's no sense in having to say that it goes until the end of the moyed.
The Tanakhama was saying.
The Tanakhama and the Mishnah had said, that after it, the day after the day in Megillat Tainus, you're allowed to. Rabbi Yossi is the one saying not. If we're saying the reason why Megillat Tainus says that this Yom Tov ends the 21st of Nisan is to tell us the 22nd, Yisru Chag, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to make a spadium, whatever, that would only be according to Rabbi Yossi. The problem with that is, Ihochi, the Esther Matishanami. Well, if that's the case, going back then to the 29th, that we said before, Erev Rosh Chodesh, that we're saying that we needed to say that the first Yom Tov begins Rosh Chodesh to tell us the day before not. The question is, my area, why do we need to say that? To have a Yom Tov, my area, to have a Yom Tov, to become a Yom Tov, to become a Yom Tov, what do we need to even mention the fact that it's the day before the day that the Tomid was fixed back up? Typically, we have a different reason why it should be Osir to fast according to Rabbi Yossi. To have a Yom Tov Osir Esther and Atzmanya Bay, because the day after the 28th of Adar, which the 28th of Adar is another Yom Tov and Megillat Tainus. If you're going to say, in other words, that Megillat Tainus is according to Rabbi Yossi, then you have a Stira one way or the other. There's no you shouldn't have to mention Rosh Chodesh Nissen, because automatically, because it's the day after the 28th, then the 29th will be Osir. You're telling me you have to mention Rosh Chodesh Nissan to tell us the 29th is Osir? Well, then that means you're not holding like Rabbi Yossi. If you're not holding like Rabbi Yossi, why are you bothering to mention that the second one goes until the end of the Moed? Now, the Yerushalmi has a very sort of balabatish answer to this, which is that Megillat Tainus, I mean, the different days that are mentioned in Megillat Tainus, yes, they happen at different times. Some of them during the time of the second Nisim Mikdash, some of them afterwards. But the Chachamim just wanted to list all the days when Nisim happened to the Jewish people. They're not concerned about whether some of them overlap with each other or whether you have like this, there's a day that would be also on the grounds of one and not the other. The Babli over here evidently doesn't like that. Doesn't like that idea. The fact is, yes, Megillat Tainus. This idea that we would say that it's just they're listing, they want to list the days. The fact is, ultimately, Megillat Tainus was edited. There's a possibility some of the folks should bring from a Gemara that Rebbe may have been the one who edited it, along with the rest of the Mishnayot. So he should have, by his times, all the days that are in Megillat Tainus had already been established, he should have edited it appropriately. He should have, for example, taken out the day of Chodesh Nisan and said that you have the 28th of Adar, and you have beginning from the 2nd of Nisan as a Tokim Tmida. Because you don't have to, according to Rebbe Yossi, you wouldn't have to mention starting from Chodesh. What's the 28th? The Tanya. We learned in the Braisa. We have this in Rosh Hashanah as well. The Eshum Tzmanya Bay on the 28th of Adar, Asas Besurta Tav Tal Yerudoya, good news came to the Jewish people, Deloya Idun Minarai, so that they're not going to have to abandon the Torah. They're not going to have to abandon learning Torah. They're the Goyim and made a Xera on them as such. Shapam and Hagoyza Bahad, Deloya Mispa. This is one of those days when you know how to make a Hesed. What happened? Shapam achas nigzur gzeira al Yisrael. One time the Romans made a gzeira on the Jewish people. Shalom yachzu b'Torah. They're not allowed to learn Torah. Shalom yamulu es b'nehem. They're not allowed to give a bris milah to their children. V'shichalu shabbos, and they should have to be mechalal shabbos. Why did they pick these three different mafarshim talk about? Marsha talks about because these are the three things that make us distinctive. They're all the three things that are a bris between the Jew, between us and Hashem. Ois brisi is bris milah. Ki brisi veni uveinechem by Shabbos. Same thing by learning Torah.
The
essential things. Kind of. Other mafarshim say there's also the idea. One of the mafarshim on Ein Yaakov says an idea that each of these things helps us helps us not to survive, but also it helps that Hashem saves us from the goyim in the schus of these things. Learning Torah, for example, you have the idea of a hoyach hasher Torah. Only when the Jewish people cast off learning Torah, then Esav has power over us. Shabbos is also, you know, if we kept two, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, you know, if the Jewish people keep two Shabbosim, Mashiach will come. Brit Milah, similarly, so therefore they're out to get these.
What does it say that Esav has power over?
Yitzchak tells him after he gets all upset that Yaakov stole my brachas, so don't you have any brachas left for me? So Yitzchak gives him a bracha, Mishmane Oret Yerushim Yom Shavachom, Mitala Shemai Me'ol, etc. Vahoya Kasher Torid, and when you have reason for grievance, Uforach to Ulam, Al Tavarach, then you cast off his yoke from your neck. Why would Esav have a reason to have a grievance? Rashi says over there, because if we're not learning Torah, then Esav has a reason for a grievance, and, you know, why should I be subject to him? Yeah. So, Ma also Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaveirav. So what did Yehuda ben Shamua and his friends do? We learned in Rosh Hashanah that Yehuda ben Shamua was one of the Talmudim of Reb Meir. They went and asked for advice by a certain Roman noblewoman. Although all the great people of Rome were commonly by her.
Were commonly what?
Were commonly by her. They were commonly at her over at her house. We do find in a number of places, both in the Gemara and Midrashim and Lahavdil, also in secular literature from that time, it comes out there were a lot more women among the Goyim who were friendly to Jews. Than men. So therefore, it's more likely over here that, you know, if they need advice, they go to a Roman noble woman rather than a noble man. Anyway. Amr Lahem, she tells them, Imdu v'hafginu balayla, go stand and cry out during the night. Hafginu means, Rashi quotes from Targum the Tillim, that hafginu means to cry out. In modern Hebrew, hafgana means, tzaku. In modern Hebrew, hafgana is a demonstration. That's where they get it from. So go cry out at night. For one thing, why dafka at night? Because for one thing, a person's voice travels further at night. It carries better, and then it enters, it makes more of an effect. So Hochov with Ginnah Balayla, they went and cried out at night. Omru, they cried out, Ishamayim, woe Hashem. Or in Rosh Hashanah, where we also have this Gemara, Rashi explained over there, that it means Man Hashem, for the sake of Hashem. And they continue talking to the Romans. Loy achem anachnu, aren't we brothers? Yaakov and Esav are brothers. Loy b'nei avechad anachnu, loy b'nei emachas anachnu. Aren't we the sons of the same father, the sons of the same mother? We're not even like Yishmael, we're only half brothers, we're full brothers. And Marsha points out why did I mention these three things? These three ways in which we're related, we're brothers, we're the sons of the same father, and the sons of the same mother correspond to these three things that they're trying to be mevatel. The bris milah is for the father because Yitzchak is the first one who had a bris at 8 days. Rivka kept Shabbos. We know the famous thing about she her Shabbos candles lasted from week to week, like Sarah's. And we're both brothers in the sense that when we were little we both learned Torah together. In that sense, sort of that
there is a commonality.
Yeah, there is a certain commonality. Yeah,
there is.
Yeah.
Even today,
yeah.
Yeah.
So manish taninu mikol umavoloshin. So why are we different than every other nation and every other language? Shatem gozin olon gzeras rois that you're decreeing these bad gzeras against us. And sure enough, the Romans canceled the Exodus. But Osayim after Ur Yom Tov, and that day they made a Yom Tov. So we see that the 28th of Adar is already a Yom Tov. If the 28th of Adar is a Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Yossi, then the 29th is also Osir Behesper, or Betinus, as the case may be. So you don't need to tell us that Rosh Chodesh Nissen is another Yom Tov in order to tell us that the day before. Whereas on the other hand, if you're going to say that's not according to Rabbi Yossi, you're back to the question, why does, with the one of Shavuos, why does it have to say that it goes till the end of Pesach? To say that it goes until till Erev Pesach. And then automatically Pesach itself is also. Amar Abaya, la nitzuchel l'chodesh m'ober. I can tell you, you need this in a case of a chodesh m'ober, which Rashi says there's two possibilities. One is, when we say chodesh m'ober, first of all, it can mean there's an Ibra month. There's a 13th month. There's an extra Adar. Now, what happens in that case? In that case, then you have since you have two Adars, and you're going to be the first Adar is 30 days long. Only the second Adar is 29 days long. So therefore, the 29th is not the day before Rosh Chodesh. I mean, nowadays we have the 30th and the first of Rosh Chodesh. In those times, it wasn't necessarily so. The 1st would be Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the 29th is not the day before Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, that's why you need to say the 28th in order that is a Yom Tov and also the 1st of Nisan. There's a whole month between them. It's not a forget about the fact that Adar is 30 days long in that case. Then you have that the 28th of Adar Rishon. And the first of Nisan are a month apart. That's first of all. Second of all, Rashi says the second possibility is normally we assume, and that the Gemara's initial assumption was, and we learned in Rosh Hashanah, Adar Asamach Nisan or Elam Chaser, that the Adar immediately adjacent to Nisan is always 29 days, but not necessarily. What if, for example, the month? So therefore, what happens if the moon was not visible? The night of the 30th of Adar, necessarily they have to make a 30-day Adar. So then you might have the 29th is not between Chof Ches and Rosh Chodesh. You have another day in between. You have Lamed in between. But in those days, usually they tried to keep it that way, but it wouldn't always be that way. So that's why you have to have this, because yes, there is a case where Chof Ches is only the day after this one of Lo Ya'idun Min Ha'Ra'isa, but it's not the day before he took him to Midah, because there's another day in between. There's Lamed Adar in between.
Midah means
the day that the Talmud was set back up as according to its proper way. Rav Ashi says you don't even need that. You could say that you're talking about a regular case, chodesh chaser, a regular thing where Adar is 29 days. The thing is like this: kol shel achar b'tainis aser behesped mutter. Usually, whenever the day after a day in Megillah Tainis is aser to fast, but it is mutter to make a hesped on it. So in other words, if it was just you had the 28th of Adar and you did not have the 1st of Nisan, then the 29th of Adar would be only also to fast it, would not be also to make a spade.
According to...
So far. What? Vizeh, but in this case, the 29th of Adar, Horil Mutal ben Shnei Yom Tovim, since it's exactly in between two Yom Tovim, the 28th of Adar and the 1st of Nisan, after Uki Yom Tov, which both of them are also behesped, after Uki Yom Tov Atzvei, so they made it itself like a Yom Tov. V'afil behesped Nami Osir, and therefore it itself is also in Hespedim as well.
The
29th. So that's the point.
Right.
So that's the point. Even if we're saying not like Rabbi Yossi, then in other words, it comes out that we're saying that in this case we make a special exception. Yes, the Chachamim usually say the day after a day in Megillah Tainis is nothing special. Here, because it's between 2 days in Megillah Tainis, the 28th on one side, the 1st of Nisan on the other, then we want to make it also in Hesped and in Tainis, as if it was a Yom Tov in Megillah Tainis itself. And therefore, we have to mention the 28th, and therefore we have to mention the 1st. If either of them was missing, that would work.
The 28th is since that story happened.
Right, so that's the thing. So some beforeshim point out, I mean, that story happened 100 years after the Korban.
Right.
The one with the Tokum Tamid obviously happened during the time of the Second Nisimistish, because that's when they had to worry about the Tamid. So what's the problem? And that's the answer that I was saying before. Ultimately, Megillah Tainis went through a later editorial revision. The original Megillah Tainis was written during the time of the Second Nisimistish, but later on it was revised to add these extra things. At that point, when it was being revised, Rebbe, or whoever it is who revised it, should have, on the face of it, should have said you don't need to put in the 1st of Nisan. You can start from the 2nd of Nisan. But that's the answer now. We know we do need the 1st of Nisan after all, because the fact that there's a 28th of Adar and the fact that there's a 1st of Nisan tells us the 29th of Adar is also the Hesped of Tainis. Because it's smack in the middle between those two.
That's why we need the 1st of Nisan, the 29th.
That's why we need the 28th, and that's why we need the 1st, yeah. And an interesting side thing on this, I I was reading where somebody was claiming that nowadays you should say the same thing about the 29th. Nowadays there were some people claiming you should say the same thing about the 29th of Iyar, because you have 28th of Iyar is Yom Yerushalayim, which, you know, the religious Zionists keep as the Yom Tov for the day that the day that Yerushalayim was returned to us in the Six-Day War. And then you have Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which was Rosh Chodesh. So on the face of it, then the 29th of Iyar should be the same kind of thing as well. I have seen also an argument that is another reason why Beis Sivan, we know that Beis Sivan is nicknamed Yom HaMiyuchas. And the standard explanation why it's called Yom HaMiyuchas is because the day when the Ebesha told us, oh, Yichus, V'atem Tiyulim HaMlachas Koinim V'goy Kodesh, you're going to be a kingdom of Koinim, a holy nation, and therefore the day is called Yom HaMiyuchas. There's another interesting explanation, which relates to our Gemara over here, that it's called Yom HaMiyuchas because it has a yichus of being between two important days, between Rosh Chodesh Sivan when they came to Har Sinai, and Gimel Sivan, which is the beginning of Shlosh HaMe'agbala. And therefore it has a certain yichus of itself, just like we're saying over here, about a day that's between two special days.
But HaMe'agbala is not really a Yom Tov.
No, but you're allowed to get married during Shlosh HaMe'agbala, for example. Even we who keep all who keep Tefillah throughout, we still hold that you're allowed to get married during Shlosh HaMe'agbala.
You can make a
hesped. A hesped not, actually. No, I don't know. I'm not sure if we make a hespedim in those days, yeah.
We
don't make a hespedim by Levayas, yeah, anyway. Omar, going back to the Braisa had said, Mitzman Yabei Vad Sofmaya, Itos of Chagad Shvaya, from the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach, the Yom Tov of Shavuos was fixed up, that it should be on the proper day that it's supposed to be, the Loyla Mispad, and you're not allowed to make a hespedim. Now the question is, so we've been dealing with the second half of it, why it says that it goes until the end of Pesach. Now we're going to go back to Lama Leila Meimah Mitzmanya Bey. Why do you have to say that the Yom Tov begins on the 8th of Nisan? Leima Mitzisha Bey, say that it begins the 9th of Nisan. Utmanya Gufay also, and the 8th itself is already also Dehavla Yom Di Tokam Beit Midah. The 8th is already the end of a previous Yom Tov. It's the day when they finished fixing up the Talmud. So what do you need the 8th to be part of two Yom Tovim? And here you can't say that it's in order to after the day before, because the day before it is part of the Talmud one. You can't say it's after the day after it, because the day after it is already part of the Shavuos one. So what do you need to mention the 8th? Well, the answer is, Kivin de'ilu mikwa le milta uvatlini l'shiva. Suppose that it would happen, that something happens, and we have to be mevatel the first 7 days, which means like this. Rashi says that it means like this. Suppose that a Zeta did happen during one of the first 7 days of Nisan. So the Chachamim of that time would have to be Gozer a fast day for it. Now, you can't be Mevatel a Yom Tov by halves. If you have this Yom Tov for Itokam Tmida, this Yom Tov for the Talmud having been corrected, takes place over 8 days, you can't say if one day of it you're making a Tainis, you're going to keep the other 7 days restrictions. No, if some of it is gone, then all of it is gone. So therefore, suppose it were to happen that they have to, let's say, for example, there's a Gzeira on the 5th or 6th of Nisan, and so they have to declare a Tainus on that day, and therefore the rest of the whole thing falls apart.
That's for rain.
No, not for rain, for some other Gzeira. Nevertheless, though, Tmanya Gufay also, the 8th day would still stay Osir. Because it's the first day of the next Yom Tov, the one where Shavuot was fixed up. That's the point, in other words. You could have a case where they end up for one particular year, they can't keep the one during the first 8 days of Nisan, because some Zeta happened in the middle over there, and they need an emergency Tainus for it. But nevertheless, the 8th will be already part of another Yom Tov. That's why the Megillah Tainus has to mention the 8th as a separate thing. Even though you have the first, even though it's overlapping with the previous one, most years it'll overlap, but in case it happens, 1 year, that it doesn't, then nevertheless, the 8th, you should know, is also on its own.
Separately,
because it's part of the next Yom Tov.
That's
what he said. He chose Chagad Shuraya, that Shavuot was fixed up. They convinced the Baitosim that Shavuot takes place on the 50th day from the second day of Pesach and not on a Sunday. Going back, though, Yaakov, to what you were asking before, what happens if Zeta happens on one of these days? Actually, there are some Mepharshim, I think the Shagas Arya says, explains this phrase to mean, suppose it were to happen sometime that something bad happens during these 7 days, and therefore they cancel that Yom Tov permanently. Not like Rashi says where they just, it's a one-time thing, they cancel it because they have to make a fast for an emergency situation. There could be a case where something bad happened during that time, and therefore they cancel it permanently. We're going to talk about an Amud Beis. We're going to talk about an Amud Beis as a case like that. Nevertheless, though, the 8th is still going to belong to another Yom Tov, and therefore just because they canceled the first, just because they canceled the Yom Tov on the first 8 days of Nisan doesn't cancel the 8th of Nisan itself, because it also belongs to the next Yom Tov. Suppose, in other words, in Megillas Tainus we have the first through the 8th, and then we have the 8th through the 21st, through the end of Pesach. So the 8th itself belongs to Yom Tov. Suppose it happens that the Chachamim decide to cancel this Yom Tov permanently, according to the Shagat Aryeh. The first through the 8th. They decide to cancel that one permanently, because let's say some Tzara Rachman happened on the first of Nisan, or on the second of Nisan, or what have you, and they decided from now on, we're not keeping those days as days when you can't have Hespedim and Tainus. Nevertheless, the 8th still stays also, because it belongs to the next one.
It belongs to 2,
basically. It belongs to 2, right. So even if one of them gets canceled, the other, right. Said, okay, now that you pointed out that Esther Petition Nami, then you have a good reason why Megillas Tainus has to separately mention the 28th and the 1st. We don't have to say anything like we said before that the 29th, because between two Yom Tovim, therefore it becomes like a mini Yom Tov itself. You have a different reason why Megillas Tainus has to separately list the 28th and the 1st. Given the Ilum Mikla Milsa, because if something were to happen about Linil Esther Matmanya, and there would have to be Mevasol, the Yom Tov, on the 28th of Adar, Esther and Tisha Gufay also, nevertheless, the 29th would still say also in fasting, Kavala Yoma Demikama Yoma Demitekim Tmida, because it would be the day before Rosh Chodesh, which is the first day when they fixed up the Tamid. So nothing to do, in other words, with that we're making it a mini Yom Tov of itself, but for the same reason, in other words, because even though you have two Yom Tovim, not necessarily are all of them going to continue to exist. One of them might be canceled at one time or another, either temporarily according to Rashi or permanently according to Shagat Aryeh. There was, by the way, in a later period in Jewish history, there was a period of time when the 28th of Adar became a Yom Tov for a different reason, for the Jews in Mitzrayim in the times of Ravid. There's a whole long story over there, the gist of which is that there was the local pasha over there in Egypt. Officially, Egypt was part of the Ottoman Empire at that time, ruled over by the Sultan in Turkey. The pasha at that time in Egypt was trying to rebel against the Sultan and get the Jews onto his side. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, having misfollowed Shlemish Malchus. So he threatened them with all, he threatened he's going to kill them, he's going to expel them from the country, this, that, the other. Akitzer, he went into the bathhouse one time and one of his servants stabbed him. On the 28th of Adar, and so they declared that a Purim in Mitzrayim.
He was threatening the Jews.
He was threatening the Jews. Yeah.
Of war
because they wouldn't support him in his rebellion.
Who was he rebelling against?
He was rebelling against the Turkish Sultan. Yeah.
Is that the same time as the Rambam?
No, the Rambam's 300 years after that. 300-400 years after the Rambam. Yeah. Anyway. Itmar. So now they said there's a discussion. When we say, and we said in the Mishnah that there's this machloikas about the days before and after the days in Megillas Tainus. Again, to review, in the Mishnah we have the Tanakama, which Stam Mishnah is usually the mayor, so the Tanakama, which we're assuming is the mayor, said that if the day is the Loyla Mispad, if it's a stronger day in Megillas Tainus, that you're not allowed to make a spadim, and you're certainly not allowed to fast, then the Mishnah had said that the Tanakama had said you're not allowed to fast on the day before it either, but you're allowed to fast on the day after it. And Rabbi Yehi said both of them also. And then we had, if it says the loyal Yisrael, no, that you're not allowed to fast on it, which is a more lenient one. It's not as great an event. Then the Tanakhama said you're allowed to fast on the days before and after it. And Rabbi Yehi says only on the day before it is Osir. The day after it is Mutar. So the question is, who is the halacha? So Itmar, Rabbi Chiya Ba'asi Amar Rav halacha for Rabbi Yehi. So Rabbi Chiya Ba'asi says in the name of Rav that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehi. Who is more stringent on which day that you're not allowed to make a spadim or fast on these days? Well, Shmuel Amar Halacha to the mayor. Shmuel says Halacha is like a mayor, the Tanakhama. Question is, Mi Amar Shmuel Hachi? Did Shmuel really say that? Halacha is like a mayor? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Reb Shimon, we have a third opinion. Reb Shimon Gamliel Leimer, Uma Talmud Leimer behind Shtei Pahamim. What is it coming to teach us? Now, Megillas Tainus, by the way, is the only thing that was allowed to be written in those times other than Torah Shebichtav. So therefore, the Chachamim used it almost like Torah Shebichtav, just like a lot of this, like we always have, you know, what is this extra word that a pasuk comes to teach us? Matamudlema. They did the same thing with Megillas Tainus, because for them it was a kind of like a Torah Shebichtav already. It was the only thing that was allowed to be written. So what does it mean? What do we learn from the fact that it says behind twice? What is the expression in Megillah Tainus? The opening words of Megillah Tainus are Ilan Yoimin Deloyli Sanav Behoin. These are the days when you're not allowed to fast on them. When we fast on Deloyli Misbad Behoin, and some of them you're also not allowed to make a spadim on them. So why the double word? Why the double expression behoin on them? So Rav Shimon Gamliel says Loima Ma'al Tam Lam Behoin Shtei Pamim Loima Loch Shehein Asurin. The days themselves are also. Look, name, but the days before and after these days in the Megillah Tainus are mutter to fast and to do a spade. The fact that it says behind is a mute. Only on those days is it also to fast or is it also to do a spade. But any days around them is mutter. Shmuel says that halacha is actually Rechim Shimon Gamliel. So what do you mean then? The halacha is Rechim Shimon Gamliel, but even the day before it is mutter, whereas Reb Meir in the Mishnah had said that the day before it is also when it says the Loyla Misbad. The answer is, Me'ikra Sava, originally Shmuel thought, given the Lechatana Tana the Mekel, could a mayor, what it is, Shmuel wanted to be Mekel as much as possible. Originally Shmuel thought that there's nobody who is Mekel more than Reb Meir. He only knew of the two opinions. He knew from our Mishnah. He knew Reb Meir and he knew Reb Yossi. So he figured nobody is more Mekel than Reb Meir. Oh, Allah could a mayor. So he says that now Allah is like Reb Meir. Given the Shamil of Reb Shimon, once he heard what Reb Shimon Gamliel said, the Mekel Tfei, that he's even more Mekel, that he's saying even the day before a day, Deloyla Misbad, that you're allowed to fast or you're allowed to respade him. Omar, he said, okay, in that case, the whole point was I was trying to be Mekel as much as possible. Well, very well then, Halacha to Reb Shimon Gamliel.
How can he say the Halacha is like one without hearing the other?
He hadn't heard. The Amoraim were expected to know all the Mishnah, not expected to know all the Braises. So he passed according to the opinion that he knows of. Once he finds out a new opinion, he's entitled to pass it according to it. You know, you have a similar kind of thing. You have a similar kind of thing out that Eber writes in the beginning of Hilchos Mechiras Chametz that he talks about the poskim and the generations before him, the Taz and the Shach and so forth had discussed the issues of Mechiras Chametz, but they didn't have available to them some of the Svarim of the Rishonim, for example, some of the things that are printed in Shittim Kubetz. Which bear on the halachas of Mechiras Chametz. Now that we have those things, and we have to take those into consideration in passing the halacha. So here you have a similar kind of thing. Once Shmuel finds out a new opinion that he didn't know before, he has to take it into consideration. He's trying to find the biggest kula, because this whole business of Megillah Tainus is all the Rabbanon anyway, and usually the thing is the Rabbanon Megillah Kula. So yes. So that's why it's the first he passed in like Reb Meir, and later on when he realized that Shimon Gamliel is even more Mekel than he passed in like him. We don't know. History doesn't record that detail. Doesn't matter. V'chein Omer Boli, Omer Reb Chiya Ba'aba, Omer Bi'achin. And so said Boli, that was his name, the name of an Amora, in the name of Reb Chiya Ba'aba, who said in the name of Reb Yechanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. So he said, the same as Rav. So we have Rav that said the halacha is like Reb Yossi. Shmuel said the halacha is like a mayor, and then he changed his mind and said even more so, that halacha is like a Shimon Gamliel. Reb Yechanan holds like Rav, that the halacha is like Reb Yossi. Amalei Reb Chiya LeBali. So Reb Chiya says to Bali, Asbar Allah, let me explain to you what Reb Yochanan meant. Ki Amar Reb Yochanan, Allah ki Reb Yosi, when Reb Yochanan is saying that Allah is like Reb Yosi, Adeloi Le'isamna'a. He's referring to only the days that it says in Megillah Tainus that you're not allowed to fast on them. Where then we said the Tanakama Reb Meir had said that you're not allowed to fast the day before them, but you're allowed to fast the day after them. Or, sorry, the Reb Meir had said you're not allowed to fast either, you're allowed to fast before and after them, and Reb Yossi had said not. That's what he's saying, that the halacha is like Reb Yossi. But when it comes to the days that the Lord of Misbad, when it comes to the more stringent days in Megillah Tainus, he's not holding like Reb Yossi in that. He holds according to Reb Meir in that Lefneim is Osir and Lachreim is Mutter. In other words, it comes out basically that Reb Yochanan is saying across the board, all the days in Megillah Tainus, the day before them is Osir to fast, but the day after them is Mutter. So he's sort of doing a hybrid opinion of Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. Hirsch, by the way, points out an interesting thing. If we say that the halacha is like Reb Yossi, the way that Rav and Reb Yochanan hold, one of the days that it lists in Megillah Tainus is Purim. And what do? The day before Purim, we fast. Tainus Esther. How are we fasting on the day before a day in Megillah Tainus? So Tosfos starts out by saying that maybe what it is we said before that the halacha in the end is bottle Megillah Tainus, that the days in Megillah Tainus are bottle, except for Hanukkah and Purim. When we say except for Hanukkah and Purim, it means Hanukkah and Purim themselves, you know, are the fast. But this whole idea that before them you're not allowed to, after them maybe you're not allowed to, whatever, that whole thing is bottled. So therefore, yes, you can fast the day before Purim. Why? You're saying that the Megillah's Tainus as a whole is bottled. Purim itself is bottled. Right? Purim itself is not bottled, but the day before it, in a way, is. As a matter of fact, Tosfos points out further, we're going to have on Amud Beis, there was actually a Yom Tov in Megillah's Tainus on the 13th of Adar. We're going to talk about it on Amud Beis. Eventually, when that was misbottled, like the rest of Megillah's Tainus, we don't then say that it becomes Aser again because the day before Purim. If we're making it Mutter on its own, we're not going to Aser it because of another day. That's what Tosfos talks about. But there's a number of other Rishonim that have other interesting answers. Some of them say that actually, when B'chlal did the whole concept of Tainus Esther start? There are some of the Rishonim who say that it goes all the way back to when they first set up Purim. When the pasuk says over there that they're just like the Jewish people accepted on themselves, that was a 3-day fast. That was Pesach time. That was your Gimel, your Dal Tesvav, or your Dal Tesvav Tzayin, Nissen, whatever. That has nothing to do with the day before Purim. No, there is one reason why we fast on Tainus Esther. It says is because the Jewish people fasted on the day they went to war, because they used to do that in those times, to fast for Tshuva. So there is an argument that some Rishonim make that from then there was Nikba as an annual thing that you have to fast on the day before Purim. Divrei HaTzemes is our custom, it says towards the end of the Megillah. So according to that logic, then what happened when later on in Megillah's Tainus a Yom Tov was Nikba on the 13th of Adar in memory of a nest that happened in the time of the second Mishnah, which we'll talk about on other days, they made it. You can't make a hesped on that day. They didn't say you can't fast because it's already a fast day from beforehand. Once you bottle Megillah's Tainus, then you're back to you fast all along, just like you fasted all along from the beginning, and you can go back to doing a spadim because it's the same as it was before. Then there's other Mephoshim who argue there's a difference between Tainus Esther and most of the other fasts we do. Most of the other fasts we do are because, except for Yom Kippur, which is a matter of Tshuva, most of the other fasts are because of sad things that happen. Asar HaBetavis, Shavuos HaBetamuz, Tisha B'Av. Tainus Esther is not because of a sad thing. Adarabah is because of a happy thing, that we were saved from Haman Zera. So it's a different kind of fast. It's not the kind of fast that we're talking about over here, that we're saying that you're not allowed to fast on the day before day. We fast partly to commemorate the fast that the Jewish people did when they fasted when they were fighting against the Goyim, and partly just in gratitude to Hashem for saving us. So we celebrate on Purim itself, but on Tainus Esther we remember the danger that we were in. But still, it's not a fast because of a disaster. It's a fast because of a disaster that didn't happen. So therefore, it's a different kind of thing.
You can say the same about Hanukkah.
We don't have. There's no specific reason to fast before Hanukkah, but there is a specific reason to fast before Purim. With Hanukkah, we weren't threatened with being annihilated. It was a spiritual thing, yeah. So me Omer Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? We're saying that Rabbi Yochanan wants to say that with some of the fact that some of the days of Megillah's Tainus, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Well, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, halacha is stam mishnah. As a general rule, Rabbi Yochanan always says that the halacha is like a stam mishnah. So not only we have the stam mishnah of our own mishnah, where we have the stam mishnah, we have even more than that. Which now we learn in a mishnah in Megillah, the next mesecta we're going to learn. The Mishnah talks about even though we're going to learn in the first Mishnah of Megillah in a couple of weeks from now that in those times you were allowed to lay in the Megillah a few days before Purim if you had to. The Bnei Tfarim, the people from villages, are allowed to read the Megillah a few days of the 11th, the 12th, the 13th of Adar, depending on the Kriyas. So even though they said that you can read the Megillah early, you can't delay it, you can never read the Megillah any time later than the 14th of Nisan in Purim or 15th in Mukafim, nevertheless, those days when you're reading it early, Mutarin, Behesped of Tainus, you're allowed to make a spadim and you're allowed to fast on them. The case the Mishnah talks over there is, according to most Mephoshim, the way that the Mishnah over there talks about is the Bnei Kfarim, the people of the villages, would come into the big cities on Monday and Thursday. So therefore, if Purim comes out on Monday or on Thursday, everybody reads on that day. But if, for example, Purim comes out on Tuesday, then they're allowed to read the day earlier on your Gimel. If Purim comes out on Wednesday, which actually can't happen nowadays, then they can read 2 days earlier on Monday, your day. and so forth, according to all the different possibilities over there, until you get Purim comes out on Sunday, then they could read the Thursday before, which is Yud Aleph. And that's how you get that they could read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. The Rif there has a different explanation. We'll talk about it when we get to the beginning of Megillah, Bezal Hashem. The Rif explains that basically the B'nai Kfarim are allowed to read the Megillah on Tainus Esther. So Tainus Esther, again, most years is the day before Purim. If Purim comes out on Sunday, then if Purim comes out on Shabbos, then Tainus Esther is moved back to Thursday, which would be the 12th. Nowadays, Purim can't be on Shabbos, but anyway. And if Purim comes out on Sunday, then as we do nowadays, Tainus Esther is moved back to Thursday. So either way, again, you get the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th. The point the Mishnah is making is even though you have, let's say, these B'nai Kfarim are reading the Megillah on the 11th, nevertheless, they're allowed to fast on that day and they're allowed to make a seder on that day. Now, we have to consider which case is the Mishnah talking about, Ema. Which case are we talking about when they're laning early? Ilein B'nai Chamesa v'kokoro le'ba'abesa? Are you talking about people who normally lane the Megillah on the 15th and this time are laning it on the 14th? Namely, for example, Rashi says two possible. Rashi says, for example, you're talking about, let's say, a person from Yerushalayim who goes to another town on Purim on Yud Dalet. He lanes according to where he is now. If a person travels from Yerushalayim to Kfar Chabad on Purim day, then he lanes the Megillah on that day, not on Tetzavah as he would back home. So are you talking about that? Or other Mephoshim say you could have another case. You could have a case where Tetzvav comes out on Shabbos, and then the B'nai Yerushalayim read it on Yud Dalet, because you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. There's the Rabbah.
What do we want to make it?
It doesn't matter. Either way, it amounts to the same thing. The question is, Umi Shori, are you telling me then that person would be allowed to fast or to make a hesped on that day? Roksib the Megillah Sinus, but it says in Megillah Sinus, Yom Abba Asabo Yom Chamisha Asabo Yom Puraya Inun. The day, the 14th and the 15th of Adar are the days of Purim. Deloli Mitzvah Bahari. They are days when you're not allowed to make a hesped, and we said any day that you're not allowed to make a hesped, automatically you're not allowed to fast. But Amar Rabba, Loin Nitzrucha, why does Megillah Sinus have to mention the 14th and the 15th? It's Loin Nitzrucha, Elo Lester, Eschol Zebezeb, Eschol Zebezeb. It comes to tell us the people of one kind of place are also not allowed to do Hespedim and Tainis on the day of the other one. So Yerushalmi is not allowed to fast or make a Hespid on Yud Dalet, even whether he's back home in Yerushalayim or whether he's in Kfar Chabad or what have you. And vice versa, a person from New York is not allowed to make a Hespid or a Tainis on Tetzvav, even though he's not laying in the Megillah that day. So you can't say that. I mean, we can't say it's talking about a case where a Tetzvavnik, where Mukuf is laning on Yud Dalet for whatever reason. The Ela B'nai Abesa of a Kakar Leib place. So are you talking about the case, let's say, where Purim came out on Tuesday, and these B'nai Kfarim, the people of little villages, are reading a day earlier on Monday the 13th? You can't say that they're not allowed. What do you mean they're allowed to fast on that day? Yom Nikanor Hu. It's the day of Nikanor, which is one of the days in Megillah Tainus, which we're going to talk about soon, what that is. The Ela B'nai Abesa of a Kakar Leib place. Okay, you're going to have the next possible case where it's the where they're supposed to lane on the 14th, but instead they lane on the 12th, because Purim came out on Wednesday, let's say, and they're moving it back to Monday the 12th. Still, Yom Tur Yonis. The 12th is also a Yom Tov of Megillah Tainus. It's Yom Tur Yonis. It's Vayikra, you're not allowed to fast on it. We're going to talk about this soon. Ela Lav Kakar Leib Chadesar. So it must be talking about that. That you have a case where they're laning the Megillah on the 11th. Purim came out on Sunday. They're moving the Megillah reading back to the previous Thursday, which is the 11th. Because on Mutzibahesved the Tainus, and the Mishnah is saying over there, you're allowed to fast, and you're allowed to make a spadim, and you're allowed to fast, even though it's the day before Yom Tur Yonis. So we see that you're allowed to fast, and you're allowed to make a spadim on the day before day in Megillah Tainus. That's a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan always holds that Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. How can he suddenly say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? The answer is why? No, that's not what. No, the Mishnah is not talking about that. It means Bnei Abba also Kakara Levitzrei. So it is talking about, for example, the people from the 14th where they end up reading the Megillah on the 12th, where Purim came out on Wednesday and they're moving the Megillah reading back to the previous Monday, because that's when they come into town. Udkam at Yom Tur Yonis, you're objecting the 12th is Yom Tur Yonis. It should be a day when you're not allowed to fast. Yom Tur Yonis, Gufei Batli Batlui Batlu. They ended up, the Chachamim ended up being Mevatel, the Yom Tur Yonis, the celebration on the 12th. Because Shmaya and Achia, his brother, were killed on that day. Who are Shmaya and Achia? Rashi just says they were Chassidim. They were two Chassidish Yidin. Well, like Pirush Mihay, but it doesn't say who they are. When we get to the story of Tur Yonis soon, we'll get back to Shmaya and Achia and see who they might have been. So therefore, in other words, so in other words, there was a point when the 12th of Adar was also behesped of Tainis because of Yom Tov Yonis, because of a special thing that happened then. But later on, Chachamim were about to let, because Shmaya and Achiyah were killed on it. Once that happens, then yes, if you end up laying the Megillah on the 12th, nevertheless, you're allowed to fast on it because it's not a Yom Tov anymore. Okay, I ask still, but typically they have a Yom Shalifne Nikonur. Okay, but the 12th should be also behesped with Tainus for a different reason, because the day before Yom Nikonur. We just said there's a Yom Nikonur on the 13th. So then, okay, the 12th is the day before that. Amravashi, Hashtahiyu Gufi Batlu, Mishum, Hashtahiyu Gufi Batlu. We just said that they were vatal the celebration on the 12th, because Shmaya and Achiyah were killed on it. Mishum Yom Nikonur Nekum Venigzer. Should we go and make a Zeder that now you're not allowed to fast on it because the day before Yom Nikonur? No, just like we said before, that once a day becomes this battle for some other reason, then we're not going to remake it that it's also because the day before another special day. No, but that's what we're saying. If we say, for example, that the 12th is now a sad day because Shmaya and Achiyah were killed, we're not going to turn around and say, yeah, but it's a happy day because it's the day before Yom Nikonur. You don't work that way. My Nikonur, my Turyonis, what's this Yom Nikonur and what's this Yom Turyonis, the 13th and the 12th, respectively, what happened? Nikonur is as follows. The Tanya, we learn in Braisa. Nikonur, echad me'ifracha yavonim hoya. Nikonur was one of the noblemen of the generals or whatever, of the Greeks. Every day he would wave his hand against the country of Yehuda and the city of Yerushalayim. But Omer, and he would say, Emesai, people b'yadi, when is this city or this country going to fall into my hand? The Emesena, and I'll trample it. When the family of the Chashmonaim became powerful and beat the Yavanim, they cut off the thumbs and the big toes of his hands and feet, and they hung them up over the gates of Yerushalayim. But Amru, when they said, this mouth that talked with such gaiva, with such chutzpah, and those hands that were waving contemptuously against Yerushalayim, nekama should be done against them. What happened? How are they doing nekama against the mouth, by the way? So the Yerushalmi adds, also chopped off his head and hung it over the gate. So there, that takes care of the mouth as well. Ben Yehoyada says a little bit differently. He says they cut off his thumbs and his toes while he was still alive. So the same mouth that was saying, when am I going to get a chance to destroy Yerushalayim, is now screaming out in pain. And that was in the cover against him. That happened on the 13th of Adar, and therefore they declared that day a Yom Tov. Yeah?
He was a Greek.
And in the books of Chashmonaim, where it gives a lot of details from that period, it tells not quite the same story, but it says that Nicanor was one of the major Greek generals that Yehuda Maccabee and his army defeated on the 13th of Adar.
It has nothing to do with the case.
As a matter of fact, actually Rashi makes a point of saying one of the other Mephoshim makes a point of saying you should know it's not the same Nicanor, because no, that one was a Tzaddik. Obviously, there is an interesting thing, though, that Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Siddur calls each of the halachas and the tefillos and whatever for each month, he has a different name, or he calls it after the name of one of the gates from the Beit Hamikdash, Shar Beit Hashem, Shar HaMifkad, Shar this, that. He calls the one for Kislev Shar Nikonur, and he says it has a double meaning. Number one is to remember the Nikonur who was a tzaddik who donated those gates to the Beit Hamikdash, and number two, to remember this Nikonur, the Rasha. To remember the nest that happened that the Eibush helped us defeat him. Yeah. My Turyonis, what's the story of Turyonis, why we made a Yom Tov on the 12th of Adar? Omru, they said like this, Kshepikish Turyonis la'aris lulayonis u'papus ochiblugdia. When Turyonis was one of the Greek, well, not Greek, was one of the Roman emperors, in English it's called Trajan. When he wanted to kill Lulianus, his brother Papus in Ludkia. Ludkia is a place up in the... Turyonis is Trajan, yeah. Trajan, I don't know how it's pronounced, yeah.
Trajan, huh?
What? No, not Trajan, it's a different name, yeah. It's a different name. I have co-workers in Romania. They actually, by them, Trajan is a very popular name because it's the same Emperor Trajan conquered that area and made it part of the Roman Empire, and they're very proud of that. So they that area, Romania. So therefore, they use it as a common name. But for us, he was So when he wants to kill Lulianus and his brother Papus in Lutki, Lutki is a city up in what's nowadays Turkey. Who are Lulianus and Papus? Rashi says tzaddikim gemurim hayu. They were complete tzaddikim. What's he doing trying to kill them? Rashi says yesh omrim that the king's daughter was found dead. So they're making a bilbul against the Jewish people that they killed her. So the Turianus is about to wipe out the whole Jewish people in the Roman Empire, Rahman al-Flan, until this Lulianus and Papus come forward and say, we did it.
Which they didn't do.
But they're offering themselves on behalf of the Jewish people.
And they were the brothers of...
They were two brothers. Two brothers. Their names were Lulianus and Papus.
But they weren't related to him.
They weren't related to him, no.
They were Jews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Turianus is going to kill them in Lutkia. Omalahem, he says to them, "Imme ame shochanani mishol ba'azari atem." If you're from the, you guys are from the nation of Hanani, the same nation as Hanani mishol ba'azari. Yovei alekechem biyatzel atzmiyadi. So let your God come and save you from my hand. Kedershi, it's also Hanani mishol ba'azari. Miyad mochanetzer, just like he saves them from mochanetzer. No, wait. Omruloi, they told him there's a difference. First of all, Hanani mishol ba'azari tzaddikim gemurim hayu. They will complete tzaddikim. Us, not after. Number two, so Uruin Hoyul also will have nests. They deserve to have a nest happen there. Second of all, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Hogun Hoyul, Nebuchadnezzar was a decent king. Now, in what way was a decent king? He was a tremendous Russia.
Yeah.
But there's two things. Number one, we see that after what happened after the nest with Hanani Mishael Bazaya, he recognized the power of Hashem. He actually does in Sefer Daniel. There's a whole letter that he wrote to an open letter that he wrote to his whole empire, telling them what tremendous things Hashem did. He still stayed in Russia, but he recognized the power of Hashem. That itself is an important thing. In a way, yeah. Also, Marsha says there's another reason why he's called Melech Hagun. The fact is, he did have a valid reason to be angry at Hanani Mishael Bazaya. He wanted everybody to bow down to his statue. They didn't. It's not like he's making up any stories or anything. Here, Turianus knows good and well that Papus and Lulianus didn't kill his daughter.
They didn't.
That's the thing. So therefore, Turianus is not a Melech Hagun. He's not a decent person. It's not even like in Nebuchadnezzar where at least he's coming with a true argument. Here, you're Bechal coming with stories. No, that's not the point. The point is, from Nochanessa's point of view, he's allowed to make them do that. So if they're not doing it, then yeah, he's entitled, in that sense, to be angry at them. Besides which, actually, Tosfos talks in a few places, there's a Tosfos in Ksubas, and in a couple of other places, that talks about that statue may not have technically been an Avodah Zarah. Technically, it was a statue in honor of the king. In principle, the Gemara says in a couple of places, one of them being there in Ksubas, that if instead of throwing them into a furnace, he had whipped them, ilmoli nagruhu, then they would have bowed down to the statue. And Tosfos says, Hayitachen, a Jew should bow down to a statue just because he's whipped? And the answer is, because it wasn't necessarily Avodah Zarah. But that's not really the issue over here. The issue is...
It's nice if you put them in a furnace.
Yeah, because in other words, the person is more willing to be killed right off the spot than to suffer tortures. Yes, but that's not the point. The point is at least that he, Marshall say, that he had a valid argument against them. I wanted you to do X and you didn't do it. Mashenkin over here, he knows perfectly well that Papus and Lulianus didn't do anything. Yeah. Anyway, so Nebuchadnezzar was a Melech Hagun Hoya, he was a decent king. He deserved to have a Nes happen through him, because when a Nes happens, he's going to acknowledge it. But I said Rasha had you too, but that Rasha, meaning you, Trajan is a commoner. The Einaroy Lossus Nesayod, you're not deserving to have a Nes happen, because even if a Nes happens, you're not going to recognize the greatness of the Eivishter, you're still going to stay stubborn.
Can you say that at Shlach
Yalach? Maybe that's why they said it in the third person, but it's a Rasha. Wait. But Anu, and they say besides that, but Anu Neschayav Nakloya Lamokim. In our case, okay, we must be Chayav Misa by Hashem. There must have been something that we ourselves did wrong. They may not to Hogenu, and if you're not going to kill us, okay, Habahogim, Yeshla Lamakim. Maybe she has many other ways, many other agents who could kill us. There's lots of, maybe she has lots of bears or lions in the world who could meet up with us and kill us. Ella, Loim, Sarano, Akarish Baruch Hu B'yadcha. So why did Hashem hand us over in your hand? Ella, she also be part of the Meinu Minyadecha, because he's going to avenge our blood from your hands. They're telling him, you're saying the Eibishter can save us? Sure, the Eibishter could save us. But first of all, we don't think we deserve that. And second of all, if the Eibishter hadn't put us in your hands, there'd be lots of other ways we could have gotten killed. You are going to be the one responsible now.
But then he's saying, just go to avenge the Eibishter.
No. He's saying, Afafikein hogan miyad. So nevertheless, Tuyanis went and killed them right away. Omru, but they said, like the Chacham said, like Zozer Misham, they didn't move away from there. Ad Shabo Diufli Miroimi, until Diufli came from Rome. Rashi says that Diufli means two noblemen. A couple of other explanations, and it means two army units, whatever it is. Anyway, Diomi means two, in Greek, and Pli Rashi says means sorry. And they bashed open his head, Tuyonis' head, with sticks. So Taka the Eibishter got his revenge against them. So that's the Yom Tuyonis. That's why they made the 12th of Adar a celebration that this happened. Now, and that's the thing. Some of us can point out on the face of it, okay, it's a very nice thing that Tuyonis the Rosha got killed. On the other hand, Lulianus and Papas also got killed. There are actually some of us will bring from parallel, Yufei and Naim and some others talk about, based on various other parallel Midrashim and Gemaras and whatever, that they weren't killed. That actually before he had a chance to kill them, these Roman soldiers came and whacked him to death. So therefore, it was a complete celebration. Right. Having said that, though, so now going back to what we said before, that on the 12th of Adar, Shmaya and Achiah were killed. So who are they? So there are some Mephoshim who say that there are some Mephoshim who point out that actually there's a Yerushalmi that also talks about this pair, Papus and Lulianus, that tells a different story of how they got killed. That the emperor there doesn't say the name, wanted them to drink out of a cup that had a picture of a desert on it, and they went on Mesiras Nefesh rather than drink out of such a cup. So therefore, some of the Farshim talk about there's a possibility. Maybe they got saved from Tuyonis at this time on Yud Beis Adar, and therefore they declared it a Yom Tov. Later on, though, some years later, they ended up getting killed, Al Kiddush Hashem after all. Shmaya and Achiah are none other than their Hebrew names. Lulianus and Papus are their Greek names, and they had parallel Hebrew names as well, Shmaya and Achiah. So they ended up getting killed also on the 12th of Adar, but a few years later, and therefore the Chum were also the original Yom Tov. Because the whole Yom Tov was for this
fact. What's that?
Some of Farshim. The Yerushalmi talks about that thing with the cup. The Gemara mentions in Bava Basra and a couple of other places that Harugei Lud, the Jews who were killed in Lud, are at such a high level that nobody can be in the same place with them in Gan Eden. And who are the Harugei Lud? This Lulianus and Papus. So we said over here they were in Lud Kiya, Lud and Lud Kiya are two different places, but still, there are some of Farshim say that it's the same thing. Actually, Rashi says over here Lud Kiya, he Lud. It's called Lud for short. Yeah. There are some historians who claim that actually, I mean, historically, if you look in Roman histories, you don't find that Trajan was killed like that. It seems he died of a relatively natural death, you know, at least as natural as it went in those days for Roman emperors. So they say that actually it wasn't necessarily Trajan himself, but rather his deputy, a fellow named Kittus. He's mentioned at the end of Sota, the Pulmus Sokittus. That what happened was when Trajan himself dropped dead in Rome, Kittus is still the governor over there in Syria or whatever. But the next emperor, Hadrian, saw him as a potential threat. So sure enough, he sent soldiers to bash in his head, and that was the end of him. But there, so therefore, according to that, the Gemara calls him Tuyonis because he's acting on Tuyonis' behalf. Yeah.
Who said?
I don't remember actually. There's a couple of historians talk about that possibility. I think Zev Yavis mentions it in Tolbus Yisrael, for example. Yeah. The Mishnah said, "In Gozun Tainus Alat Zibur Betchila Hamishi Chula." That you're not allowed to start declaring a series of fasts on Thursday because we don't want prices to rise so close to Shabbos. And it said, "In Gozun Tainus Berasha Chadashim Chula." You're not allowed to declare a fast on Rosh Chodesh or on Chanukah or on Purim. But we said, "Im Ischilu En Machsikin." If they start a fast, then they don't stop them, even though one of them comes out to be on Rosh Chodesh or what have you. So the question is, how much is considered a start, where we say, where you've already had a certain number of fasts, and therefore you don't stop even though the next one is Rosh Chodesh? Rav Acha says only if you have three of them already. So if you have three of them on Monday, Thursday, Monday, and then the fourth one, which is going to be on Thursday, comes out on Rosh Chodesh, let's say, you fast anyway. But if it was less than that, then they would break it off. And Rav Asi is saying one. Once you had one fast, then that's already enough. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Zud Divrei Rav Meir Shomer Shimon Gamliel. This that we're saying, that you that in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, Rav Meir had said, even though Rav Gamliel says Ein Mapsikin, that you don't break off the series of fasts of the Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim, he still says that Ein Mashlimin, that you also don't complete the fast. You break the fast sometime during the day. You don't fast all the way until the night. So that Zud Divrei Rav Meir Shomer Mishum Rav Gamliel. That is what Rav Meir is saying in the name of Rav Gamliel. Aba Chachamim, I mean Misanu or Mashlim. But the Chachamim say in those cases, no, you fast the whole thing and you complete the whole fast all the way till nightfall, even though it's Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah or what have you. Nevertheless, you still have to do that. Dorosh Mazut Shemeshmei Rav Huna Halacha Misanu or Mashlim. Indeed, that's the halacha. You fast all the way until nightfall. Which Tosfos says actually that's talking about Rosh Chodesh. Chanukah and Purim, you can't actually. Purim, it says it has to be Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, so you have to eat. So yes, if you have a fast for whatever reason that came out on Purim, you do have to break the fast before nightfall. And Chanukah also doesn't say explicitly on it Mishta V'Simcha, but still there is the idea you're supposed to eat something special on Chanukah. So therefore, this halacha that we're saying over here, halacha Mitzanu Mashlim, would only apply to Rosh Chodesh. It also applies, by the way, to Erev Shabbos.
Or Rosh Chodesh.
Normally you don't fast on Rosh Chodesh, but if it happens, any Rosh Chodesh.
Right, normally you don't.
Normally you don't, but if for whatever reason you fast on Rosh Chodesh, then the halacha is Mitzanu Mashlim. You fast the entire day.
Even Rosh Chodesh.
One other, it also is negeya as far as Friday. The Mishnah had said b'chein Tisha B'av shachali is Erev Shabbos. The same din applies if Tisha B'av comes out on Friday. Now Tisha B'av nowadays can't come out on Friday, but Asara B'tavis can. And Asara B'tavis, if it comes out on Friday, indeed you fast all the way until nightfall, even though you're going into Shabbos still fasting.
In a way,
we said Asar B'Tavis is special for that reason, yeah, right. because the Bat Tamayim is there. But still, in principle, the same halacha would apply to other fast days if they could come out on Friday. I don't know if they're to the Aniyah Kate.